Hello again and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. It's time to practice your American English skills. Today we have two stories for you. First, we turn to Ethiopia. There is concern that the government there is taking steps against independent media and journalists. Some say the problem is serious. Then an unusual story about U.S. lawmakers and their invitation to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to speak before the U.S. Congress. There is something important you can learn from both these items, and you can practice American English reading and speaking at the same time. So let's get started. An international rights group is accusing the government in Ethiopia of systematically suppressing media before the country's elections in May. Human Rights Watch released a report on the subject recently. The report shows how the Ethiopian government has restricted independent reporting since 2010. Christopher Cruz has more.
Felix Horn is a researcher for Human Rights Watch. He says the government has taken actions against independent journalists who have different opinions than the government. He says after the reporters write stories critical of the government, officials harass them. He says government and security officials threaten the reporters on the phone or through messages on their cell phones or in person. He says the officials are trying to convince the reporters to write stories that give only the government's views on issues.
The next level is threats and harassments against family members, quite often arbitrary detention, to intimidate and to pressure the journalist into censoring their writing. If that doesn't work, the next step seems to involve criminal charges.
The new Human Rights Watch report is called Journalism is Not a Crime. It says 22 journalists, bloggers, and publishers faced criminal charges, and more than 30 journalists fled Ethiopia. Most of those charged were accused of violating a widely criticized anti-terrorism declaration. Human Rights Watch says the repression described in the report is leading to self-censorship. Some Ethiopian journalists are now refusing to report on some issues. The rights group adds that citizens and lower-level government officials are afraid to talk to reporters because they believe the government will punish them. Felix Horn says the repression has led to a reality where only positions of Ethiopian officials or the government are discussed in the media.
It is crucial and critical that there be a vibrant and flourishing independent media that can contribute to the political discourse and the political dialogue within the country, that can provide critical information and critical analysis about the political issues of the day. But sadly, given the decimation of private media that we've seen since 2010, that's just not happening.
Ethiopia's ruling party has governed the country since 1991. It won more than 99% of the votes in the 2010 elections. The opposition won just one seat in parliament. Getachew Reda is a special advisor to Ethiopia's prime minister. In his words, HRW lost their credibility a long time ago, even by their own supporters. So there is no point for us to respond to their remarks. He said journalists who have been detained are jailed because they are guilty of a crime. In his words, you can be anything, a journalist or pretending to be a journalist, but being involved in criminal activity is still a crime, and they will be held responsible. Human Rights Watch is calling on the Ethiopian government to release imprisoned journalists and bloggers and to amend the anti-terrorism measure. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. American officials have announced that President Barack Obama will not meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he visits Washington in March. The U.S. Congress has asked the Israeli leader to speak to a joint meeting of the House of Representatives and the Senate. House Speaker John Boehner said he did not contact the Obama administration about the visit before inviting Mr. Netanyahu. Many observers see the invitation as a way for Republican Party lawmakers to criticize the administration's policy toward Iran. Katie Weaver explains what this means.
President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu do not agree on the best way to keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Mr. Netanyahu has questioned Mr. Obama's support of international talks to limit Iran's nuclear activities. With the nuclear talks set to restart in February, some U.S. congressional leaders also are growing impatient. House Speaker Boehner surprised many by inviting the Israeli leader to speak to Congress, as he said, about the threats of Iran's nuclear program and Islamic extremists.
I did not consult with the White House. The Congress can make this decision on its own. I don't believe I'm poking anyone in the eye. There is a serious threat that exists in the world.
A presidential spokesman said Mr. Obama will not meet with Mr. Netanyahu because of Israeli elections, which are set for later in March. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi also questioned the timing of the visit.
This presentation will take place within 2 weeks of the election in Israel. I don't think that's appropriate for any country.
Secretary of State John Kerry sought to play down what many see as congressional criticism of President Obama.
We welcome the Prime Minister of Israel to come and speak in America anytime. And obviously, it's a little unusual to learn of an invitation from the Speaker's office.
Representative Pelosi says the president has a plan to keep Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. She also says Congress needs to hold off on proposed votes to take new steps designed to punish Iran.
It may or may not succeed, but we cannot have it fail because Congress wants to flex its muscle unnecessarily.
But Senator Robert Menendez, a leading Democratic Party lawmaker, disagrees.
Iran needs to know that there will be consequences for failure. Now, some of us believe those consequences should be additional sanctions.
Steve Billett is with George Washington University. He says Congress has a part in shaping U.S. foreign policy. But, he says, congressional involvement could make efforts to negotiate a diplomatic settlement more complex.
I'm not quite sure how all this plays out when it comes to the negotiations.